In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today's gospel teaches us that in order to achieve salvation, we really have to do quite a bit more than just fulfill the Ten Commandments, you know, externally, but we must fill them in the Spirit as well. Once I was talking with a priest from Serbia, and he shared with me something where he ran into a man who hadn't been to church for a long, long time, like many years. And out of concern for him, since he hadn't been to confession for some time, the priest said, maybe you should come to confession. And the man replied, Father, why do I need to come to confession? I have not killed anyone. And, you know, it struck me that this kind of thinking was kind of similar to this rich young man. And it's a point of view that's really held by many people today. And it's this thought that all anyone needs to do to be saved is simply to, you know, get through life without killing anyone. But of course, our Lord tells us that unless our righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, that we won't enter the kingdom of heaven. So much more is required of us. And so the Lord tells the young man that if he wishes to be perfect, he needs to go and sell all that he has and give to the poor, and thereby gain a treasure in heaven, and come and follow Christ, become one of his disciples, in other words. But when the young man, you know, if you notice, he says, which of the commandments do I need to hear, do I need to fulfill? So he wants something specific, you know. In a way, he probably would have liked to have heard Jesus say to him, why don't you make a donation to the poor, or something like this? And then the young man would have thought, well, that's great, because I have plenty of money, so I'll make a donation, and then I'll be saved, you know. So this is kind of what he wanted to hear. But Christ doesn't tell him what he wants to hear. Instead, he tells him he needs to sell everything and come and follow him. And so he leaves in sorrow because he has great possessions and was not willing to do what Christ wanted him to do. And so here there's a great dichotomy. The rich young man wants eternal life and he wants salvation, but he also wants the riches of the world and all the comforts. And as our Lord teaches us, we cannot serve both God and mammon because we will love the one or hate the other. Archbishop Andrew Rymarenko says that the reason this rich young man was unable to really hear this from Christ and understand what he was saying was because he trusted in his riches. And he says everything around him was real to him, and this reality gave him security in life. And this, what Christ was saying about future life, was not real to him. Therefore, when Christ said to him, follow me and give away everything, he thought, how do I give it away? What will I have then? And what did he want to have? Power, strength, to be a possessor of earthly things. I happened to run across this this little story, and I thought it was appropriate for this. There was a conversation once between Kurt Vonnegut, the writer, and Joseph Heller, who wrote the novel Catch-22, you know, which was very popular in its day. And they were both attending a party, and Kurt Vonnegut says to Joseph Heller that their host, who was a hedge fund manager, had made more money in a single day than Joseph Heller had made from his wildly popular novel, Catch-22, during the entire history of the sales of it. And Heller responded, yes, but I have something he will never have. And Vonnegut said, what's that? And Heller said, enough. So he was content with what he had, where the hedge fund manager was not. St. Nikolai Vlimirovich once said that the passions, including the passion of avarice or greed, is really, they're like fires that burn within us. And the more fuel we add to the fire, the passion doesn't say, okay, that's enough. You know, no more, I don't need any more fuel. The fire's too big as it is. No, the fire just keeps getting bigger and bigger the more fuel we put on it. So in other words, we must overcome the passions by applying the opposing virtue. So, you know, in the case of a real fire, you pour on water, let's say, and then that puts the fire out. So it's the water is kind of like the opposite of the fire. So in this case, the love of money and greed are really overcome by charity and almsgiving. When St. Anthony the Great, whose icon is over there in the corner, when he was about 20 years old, he lost his parents and then had to care for his sister, who was not of age yet. And one day he was visiting the church services, and he heard in the gospel passage exactly the gospel we had today, that of the words of Christ spoken to the rich young man. If thou wouldst be perfect, sell what thou hast and give to the poor, and thou wilt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Well, Anthony understood this as spoken to him personally. And so he sold off all his property that remained to him after the death of his parents, and he distributed the money to the poor. He left his sister in the care of some pious virgins in a monastic setting. He left his parental home, and having settled not far from his village in a wretched hut, he began his great ascetic life. And so, of course, you know, from the worldly point of view, some people might look at that and say, well, he's kind of a loser. He's kind of a failure. You know, he's poor, and he was foolish to give away all his money. But from a spiritual point of view, you know, St. Anthony the Great is considered the founder of monastic life, and he's numbered amongst the saints of heaven and is remembered by the Christian faithful all over the world who sing hymns in his honor. Now, you know, we don't even know the name of this rich young man, but we don't hear anything further that we know of from Holy Tradition that he ever did become a disciple of Christ, and only that he went away sorrowful. But of course, St. Anthony's name is known all over the world, and he's numbered amongst the saints in heaven. So Jesus goes on to say to his disciples, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And they in turn ask him, who then can be saved? And he replies, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. St. Theophylact says that the disciples, of course, they had already left everything and followed Christ, and some of them didn't have much to leave. They were pretty poor to begin with. But they weren't asking this really for their sakes. It's not that they had lots of money and they wondered what to do. They were really asking it out of compassion for everyone. And so he goes. St. Theophylact goes on to say, the Lord therefore teaches us not to gauge salvation by human weakness, but by God's power. For if one only begins to cease from greed, he will advance to reducing his excess. And from there, he will proceed by eliminating even his necessities, and thus he will be prospered along the way by God acting in collaboration with him. So, really, we're called, brothers and sisters, to be more like stewards. You know, so we might have a house and a car and, you know, whatever we have, and that's all well and good, but let's look at it more that all our life belongs to God. Everything we have is given to us by God, and so we're just kind of stewards of these things. So we just take care of these things. Of course, we need our necessities and all that, and God provides those things for us. But let's remember the words of the Apostle Paul, who said it was the love of money that was the root of all evil. You know, Paul didn't say it was evil, you know, just to have our needs met or have money or something. But it's this love of money. It's this attachment. So let us be satisfied with what we have, and let us seek the kingdom of heaven first, confident in the promise our Lord gave us that by doing this, all our needs will be provided by our Heavenly Father.